Hi, friends, and welcome to the Grazier's Grapevine, where we hold lively discussions on all things grazing. I'm your host, Jen Albright. This podcast is being brought to you by the Pennsylvania Grazing Lands Coalition, capital RCND, the Mountains to Bay Foundation, as well as the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and its funders. Hi, guys. Hey, I wanted to remind you that the farm show is in full swing. It's happening now through the 11th, so through Saturday the 11th. And I will actually be up there on Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th. Friday, I'll be speaking on small scale beef operations, and that will be from 1 to 2. So if you're up there at that time, make sure you come and say hi. Get yourself a milkshake, of course. And we actually have a few great speakers that are going to be in the So You Want to Be a Farmer exhibit area. And so I hope you'll come and sit down and listen to them speak. Today, we are having my friend Cheryl Burns guest host the podcast. You met her a few podcasts ago. And she's going to be speaking with Matt Kerr, who is involved in the cover crop grazing project that we've been talking about in this series of podcasts. So hope you enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. This is Cheryl Burns with capital RCND, guest host for today's Grazier's Grapevine. And I'm with Matthew Kerr, participant in the cover crop grazing project that you've all been hearing about. Matthew, thanks for taking time with us this morning. And if we can go ahead and get started, I'll ask you to share a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I grew up on a small dairy farm in Adams County, Pennsylvania. Over the course of time, the cows have left and Philly sat empty, primarily farming corn and beans and some hay. And then in December of 2017, we got into having feedlot cattle. And bring them up to fat cattle and then marketing them direct to a buyer. And one of the people on our team had pointed out that we were growing a lot of cover crops and not making good use of them for cattle. So that's what has introduced me to the idea of grazing some of those cover crops in our operation. We do crop more acres than what we need to feed the cattle. We've been a no-till operation for at least the past 10 to 15 years, maybe even longer. We only use tillage when the circumstances require us to because of wet harvest, but primarily all no-till, followed by planting cover crops, which has really helped the no-till situation out.
What prompted you to start using, you know, no-till methods and cover crops?
Primary reason, our soils, when it gets dry for a week or more, it can get extremely dry, and we saw some real benefits in trying to conserve the moisture in the soil. And so that's kind of what led us on to doing no-till, as well as cutting back on some fuel costs, but that was the primary reason. And then the cover crops really led on to because of the benefits of some weed suppression and also the ability that I'm holding back or holding some moisture there in the summer to also help out with that plant and utilize some of the nutrients and recycle them.
So this project really fits in well with what you're already doing, which is
Absolutely.
Now, when you still had your dairy herd, did you graze them at all, or what did you do with them?
In my family in the early 90s had grazed dry cows and pre-fresh cows, and then had grazed occasionally on some of the milk cows and into the mid to late 90s, that had tapered off to being more of a PMR base.
Now, thinking of what grazing was like then and what you're getting into now, how is that different for you, aside from the animals, of course?
So the big difference to me is, I think we, over the past 10 to 15 years, we've really introduced a lot more double crop situations of planting ryegrass, triticale, wheat, rye, and have harvested them for forage on acres of corn or soybeans. And so that would be the primary thing I've seen different, is that there's a good opportunity to be feeding those cover crops to cattle directly out of the field instead of ensiling them.
And you mentioned a member of your team. Is that an on-farm team or the larger support network that got you interested?
We have
in
we have a profit team put together. We had met with that profit team for close to a year before we decided to move forward with getting any cattle.
Okay. And as far as participating in this project, what sparked specific participation in this project?
Two interests we had there was, one, utilizing the cover crop resources we had directly out in the field, letting the animals graze off some of that lush growth in early to mid spring. And the other interest we had was being able to buy some younger cattle in that 400 to 600 pound range, letting those animals come in instead of buying 700 to 900 pounders, and bringing them up with more of a TMR and corn silage and energy-based diet.
So the research component of the cover crop grazing project, is there anything that you're particularly curious about that they're going to be looking at or what they might discover?
I've seen a big movement on some of the guys that have pioneered the idea of having crops and cattle and talking about soil health. And I do think that's a pretty big component of really having cover crops and animals, and really recycling all the nutrients more efficiently, and hoping to cut back on some commercial fertilizers in that situation, just because of having the nutrients already applied from the cattle directly.
Now, we visited your farm in August, and so I have a mental image of how the fields are laid out. And we discussed different infrastructure that would be needed to make grazing and equipment access possible in your fields. Could you talk about that infrastructure, what you're putting in, what you need?
Absolutely. The infrastructure we need here, we currently have no fence that would hold back young animals. And so we're currently needing some fencing along with some water lines and some pathways to make different paddocks and whatnot.
And have you learned anything new since the project started?
Not a whole lot of new information, just kind of confirming things I've observed from peers in the business, and also other things I've observed from some of the people that have come to talk to us.
So as we move forward, like I said before, we'll talk again, and hopefully folks will have some questions that we can discuss. And until then, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for taking the time to talk today with me and on behalf of the listeners. So thank you, Matt.
Absolutely.
And then we'll talk soon.